Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Clark. If you don't understand, just get on your knees before God. Amen. All right. I got an announcement I forgot to make earlier, so it is pretty important, so I need to make it. Senior Patriots is about to fire up again. We'll start up the first Saturday in November, which I believe is the 3rd. And we need to have a meeting tonight after church, right over here in the lunchroom or cafeteria, fellowship hall, whatever you wish to call it. So if you meet us there tonight after church, anybody who's wanting to work, if you're a worker or if you would like to work in Senior Patriots, then we would love to have you. Amen. So if you meet with us tonight at right after church. And now the preacher has asked Brother Parson to bring the message. So Brother Parson, come on and preach to us.
All right, bless you. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to the book of John. John chapter 14, a very familiar passage of Scripture, if you would, with me this morning. And let me say, Senior Patriots, there are a lot of ministries in our church. If you want to get involved in something and the work of God, you have an opportunity here at Landmark. Amen. There's no place like this place. I've been a lot of places, but there's no place like this place. Brother Scotty would say that there's no place like this place. And this is my favorite place to preach. I do appreciate the opportunity. Our preacher has preached out for one of our graduates, and we have one of our graduates with us. You come back tonight and we'll tell you who's going to preach tonight, another graduate, and it wouldn't be me. I'm a graduate of the college. I don't know how many of you know that. Let me take time to say that this this building, the investment of our church and labors of our people, have built a place that trained people to go and preach the word. And so if you didn't know that we had that, I appreciate you adding that to your prayer list. Our church has invested in young people for a long time. A lot of our teachers in our day school, a lot of our people that serve in our ministry are graduates of our college, and we're proud of that. And let me say, the college is having a fall festival. This is not just something, this is something that we've done for our church. We wanted to invest back in our people. And you can come out. It's absolutely free. The only thing they'll charge you for is the chili that you bring, and that kind of thing. And so they'll make a little bit of funds for the student body fund, but it'll be something that all the games and everything are free. If you could invite people that you see, other people in our community have started to have one of these, but this is an opportunity. We always set up the Salvation Station there, and it's an opportunity. We've had people saved every year that we've had it. And so if you see somebody, invite them to come, tell them how much fun it will be. This year is going to be a little different for those of you that will attend. We want you to bring your pocketbook with you, all right, and your bankroll or whatever it is that you want to call it. We are going to have an auction. Instead of having the cakewalk like we've had in the past, we're going to have an auction. We're going to auction those cakes off. And people in the past have complained that cake is, they would pay up for that cake. I said, that's not how it works. You just pay for that. And if you end up with that cake during the cakewalk, but so many people have said that they desire to have a cake and they were willing to pay up for a certain cake. We're going to let you do that this year. Amen. And they won't just be cakes. There'll be other items. A lot of other places have donated. Bass Pro has donated a gift card. There's different things. And other places have donated things for us to auction off. So if you'd come and enjoy that with us, it's not something that will be high-pressure sales. Our auctioneer, Brother Jesse Maxwell, the illustrious Jesse Maxwell that you've heard on the radio, will be doing that for us. And so I just wanted to plug the Fall Festival, but please don't think of it just as a fundraiser. Think of it as an opportunity to invite people that would never come to our church that need Jesus and have them come, and they will hear about him while they're there. Everything that we do in our ministry lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope that you are very proud to be a member of the Landmark Baptist Church, because that's something that we do. Amen. In John chapter 14, I want to begin here by saying some things I had intended, but our time is so late in telling a joke on someone in our business office, but I'll keep that one to myself and maybe use it sometime in the future, or tell it to the preacher and he'll tell it. But I'll keep that one for me, amen, and I'll just laugh about it myself. But in John chapter 14, for the tape room, if you want a title today, it would be Puzzling News, Puzzling News. My daughter and my wife, I came home one day and they were putting together a puzzle. I don't know about you, but I'm not really a puzzle guy. Maybe when I was 4 or 5 in the nursery and there were puzzles, I used to put puzzles together. Maybe you're somebody who likes to do that. You get a big puzzle and you'll sit and put that together. But that to me is, I just don't have the patience Now I'll help. This one goes here, and no, it doesn't. And I'm more like get my pocket knife out and make it fit. Amen. And so, but if you're one, puzzles are something that it takes a little bit of time. It takes seeing the big picture, if you would, on the outside of the box. And now they got those 3D puzzles and all that stuff to me. But I grew up on the farm, and I can't say that I don't like puzzles to a certain extent, because I don't like to do the puzzles that you do on top of the table, but I'm one of those kind of people that I grew up on a place where money, you know how they say money is no object? It was no object where I grew up because we didn't have any. So it wasn't an option, I guess is what you'd call it where we were at. So, if something broke and we were going to fix it, we went to the barn and we laid out all the pieces of what we had, and we figured out how we were going to fix it with what we had, not go down to the local store and spend money to get it fixed. And so I grew up fixing puzzles. You know, NASA does that. When people are in space, they throw out on the table, they figure out what they have, and then they make what they need out of a roll of duct tape, a filter, and a coffee filter, and, you know, there's different things. And so in the Christian life, a lot of times, the blessing about the Christian life, and I hope you know this, is that God did not leave us penniless. We are so rich with the Word of God, and we have every piece of the puzzle. And it's amazing to me how that we could go to the store and pick up a puzzle and have faith that that puzzle company put every piece that we need in that puzzle, but we don't have faith that God put everything that we need here in His Word. So many times we have faith in so many things, but we don't have faith that what God said in His Word would work if we applied it to our life. So many of us, especially in a Christian life, this morning something that troubled me and got me thinking, and I this is off where I'm needing to be this morning, but I need to say it anyway. Amen. The Powerball jackpot this week is going to be $640 million. And it grieved me to think about how many Christians this week. All right, now, watch out now. You say, Brother Parsons is going to preach against the lottery. Amen. I'm against it. I don't even need to preach on it. Amen. But let me just say, I'm not worried about even if you go buy a ticket. All right? Let me not even have to worry about preaching against that. I'm against that. But let me say, if you went out and got one, so many Christians this week will be so consumed with what they could buy if they won, rather than people that are dying and going to hell, rather than what God has already given them in this life. God help us. They will meditate the whole week long on what they could get and what they could buy and what they could do and what they could be, rather than meditating on the good Word of God. God gave us all the answers. Listen, this is bigger and better than any jackpot that you could ever win. Can I tell you that today? Listen, this is worth more. Listen, we live in a country where this is readily available, but I spent a week at a Bible conference, and they used this terminology. They told us that out of the 7.5 or whatever it is, billion people in the world, only 1.5 billion people have a copy of the Scripture. That is a sad commentary on America. We have fed the world. But the harvest, listen, the harvest or the true hungering, the Bible says this, and it's absolutely true. If they're starving to death, it's because they don't have the Word of God. I heard story after story after story about people that walk 7 miles, 70-year-old ladies that walk 7 miles to be able to get a Bible. Never had one of her own her whole life. I can't imagine what it would have been like. Listen, we have the Word of God, but we don't read it. D.L. Moody in his day said that 1 out of 10 men would read the Bible, and 9 of the other men read the one that does read the Bible. Can you think about those of you that do read the Bible? Do you want people reading you? Wouldn't you rather have them read the Word of God? The perfect Word of God? No matter how much of it rubs off on you, listen, it still isn't what God wanted them to have. It ought to be God's perfect Word. Listen, today, if ever there was a time that we needed to put our faith and trust and our everything and invest it in the Word of God, it's today. Amen. These last days, as Jesus is about to come back, listen, puzzling news to me. It's found here in John chapter 14. Would you pray with me? Let me pray one more time and ask the Lord to be with us this morning. Dear Jesus, I know that my time is fleeting, and I beg you, dear God, today, there's so much in your word, and dear God, I know that what you've impressed upon my heart, I pray that you would just use me as in your messenger boy, that I would be moved aside and that you would be heard today. Holy Spirit of God, the best way I know how, I yield myself to you one more time, just to do and to say what you'd have me say. I pray that you'd give me and use me what you want. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've got more on this piece of paper than I can preach, and it's very polished, but I'm not. And so what comes out is what you're going to get, and I'm sorry our preacher's not here. I pray if you're here and you've never been here before, you come back and hear a real preacher. But I'm what you got today. So John chapter 14 and verse number 1. In John chapter 14 and verse number 1, I want to read the scripture to you, and then we'll kind of dive in, all right? He says, very familiar, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, just like a bunch of other Christians, doubting Thomas says in verse number 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These are very, very familiar words. If you've ever been to a funeral, the couple funerals that I've had a privilege of being a part of for some of my family and some of our home church members, almost every one of those funerals, this passage of Scripture is read, let not your heart be troubled. Do you know, Brother Hiles used to say this on his radio program all the time. He'd say, be nice to people because everybody's having a hard time. Do you know that we are not exclusively the ones that are having a rough go at this thing. For some reason, we think, and most of the time it's perpetuated, that if once you know Christ, or if you're living for Christ, and you are growing, and you have a powerful faith for Christ, that you won't have any trouble. But I'm going to tell you, it's the exact opposite. Not trying to discourage you this morning, but trying to encourage those of you that are reading your Bible and are praying and are following God. Listen, the Bible says in the 16th chapter of this same book that those that love the Lord shall have tribulation. Not you may, but you shall have tribulation in this life. And let me say for those of you that may watch on the internet, let me say this. That doesn't mean, all right, tribulation down the road. That means right now. All right, that doesn't mean that we're going in. I'm going out before the tribulation period, but right now, amen, I'm in tribulation. I don't know about you, but there's some bumps on this road. You say, well, there's a difference between tribulation and great tribulation. I'm just telling you, some Christians suffer tribulation and some suffer great tribulation in this life. I heard this week in the preacher meeting that there have been more martyrs in the 19th and the 20th century than there were in all the centuries that predated that. That means in our day and time, the time that you have lived and you have breathed, that more Christians have died for their faith than all the preceding centuries that came before it. That's hard for me to understand because we live in America where we're hardly ever persecuted for our faith. But I want to challenge you today. Listen, can you imagine being one of these disciples? See, we read chapter 14 and we gain such comfort from it. But we never read the context that comes with it. We never read what just happened and why the Lord Jesus felt need to say, let not your heart be troubled. See, in the 13th chapter, they had a meal like every good Baptist should have. They sat down and had the Passover feast. And after the feast was over, Jesus got up and began to do something that was troubling to them. It began to puzzle them. He was the master. He was the one that they followed. They were at his beck and call. They were ready to die for him, so Peter says at the end of the chapter. But at the beginning of the chapter, Peter and Jesus and all the men that are there finish eating, and Jesus gets up from this feast, and surely he had the greatest seat at the table, and he gets up and he girds himself with a towel. And he walks disciple by disciple, and he begins to wash their feet. When he gets to Peter, Peter says, no, Lord, I'm not worthy that you wash my feet. I don't want to. And he tells him, listen, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. But then he goes on, and we're not a foot washing church, but Jesus says, I'm doing this as an example. that the master, amen, is not better than the servants. He does that because we know in our churches, and I believe our pastor is that kind of man, that the head or the pastor or the minister is servant of all. And he does this, and to them, this is astounding. This is they don't understand. The master never, in these Bible times, it was not tradition that the highest at the feast would never get down and wash somebody's feet. And he says, I'm doing this for an example of what you're going to be. Listen, he's giving them an example of the New Testament times, not Old Testament church, but a New Testament body of believers that they were supposed to. Then he tells them in this same chapter, then he says, listen, hey, one of y'all are going to betray me. Then he goes on to, even after he tells them, one of you are going to betray me, then he says, beyond that, I'm leaving you. And where I'm going, you can't go right now. And they're like, what in the world? Can you imagine these guys that have been in Bible college and training? Can you imagine what it would be like if Pastor Carter came to you guys and said, listen, we're shutting her down. We're leaving and you can't come with us. Amen. How puzzling that would be and how amazing that would be, like right off the bat. And you think, these guys, can I tell you where their mindset was? They were thinking that this is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He should never have to get down. Listen, this is the king that's going to sit on David's throne. He's going to set up his kingdom. We're going to rule and reign with him. We're not just going to be servants. Why would we be servants? We're going to be the second in command. They had already been arguing over who was going to be second in command. I cannot imagine how puzzling this was to these men. And then beyond that, I mean, they don't just stop there. I mean, he goes on to, you want to talk about some troubling news. Then he looks at them and says, listen, you're going to love one another. And by this, every man is going to know that you're my disciple. All in this time, in this short chapter of chapter 13, he tells them all these things, and they begin. And then Peter, who is, I'm a lot like that guy, sticks his foot in his mouth. And he says, even though all these other guys deny you, I'll not deny you. And he looks at Peter and says, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crow. Listen, this group of people, they were looking. I'm telling you right now, Peter was the boldest of all the disciples. Even during the 13th chapter, John, who's writing this book, who laid his head against, who had probably the greatest love for our Savior, Peter looks at him and says, ask him, who's going to deny him? And John, there's no hiccup. He does what Peter tells him to do. So I think the guy that all, listen, if Jesus is going away, the guy they're thinking, hey, the guy we're going to look to is Peter. This is the natural leader here. He's the dominant male. He's going to be the one that we're following. Now Jesus says, listen, you're not going to deny me before the night's over. You're going to deny me three times. You put that in context, and that would be puzzling news for me. But you know, so many of us, are we really that different than these writers? See, their focus, you know, imagine a puzzle. Think about a puzzle and God's will for our lives or what God wants for us. If we purchase a puzzle and we can have faith in that picture that's on the front, that all those pieces are inside. And when we put all those pieces together, we're going to come out looking just like that. We can have faith in that. But we can't have faith that this book that God gave us, this supernatural book, that if we read and follow the instructions, it says that it's going to make us and conform us to be just like Jesus. You see, all the pieces are in this book. And they'll conform us if we allow ourselves to not just conform, but transform us by the renewing of our mind. This same book, listen, they focused on the big picture and what Jesus was going to be, and he will one day be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. He will complete all the things that they thought were going to be true of him in his earthly existence, but he didn't come to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rule over an unsaved people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. This same Jesus, he had the big picture in mind. They just didn't have all the pieces. Can you imagine? Listen, so many of us, sometimes we get discouraged in the Christian life because something happens and we can't see our way through it. We don't have all the pieces. They're not clear. We, you know, when I start a puzzle, I try to find a corner. I watched other people and they start right in the center. They find a few of the pieces and they put them together. And even for me, sometimes I'll start grouping. I'll get a corner and a corner and a corner. Did I tell you I didn't like this? Anyway, so I did that. I'll get all these pieces and then I'll try to work it together as I see the picture. You know, the Christian life is not much different than that. First, God wants to get your heart. And then once he gets your heart directed towards him, then he wants to, listen, he's going to win your soul. Do you know that the tugging on the heart of a lost man, that he's lost and on his way to hell, boy, it draws him into a place where he gives his soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. He accepts him as his Savior with his heart. And then he wants to, what happens to us? What happens to us in our Christian life? Listen, this old world has input so much bad stuff in our mind that we've got to wash it by the Word of God, the Bible says. That we need to, listen, the Bible says there's so many different types of minds that are in the Scripture that can hurt us. Listen, the Bible talks about a reprobate mind. The Bible talks about a fervent mind. The Bible talks about this sound mind. This mind should be in you that was also in Christ. We could get the mind of Christ. Listen, so many times in the Scripture, we miss the things that God has for us right in front of us because we're too busy looking down the road for the big picture. Sometimes we get so busy looking at the rapture, we don't see the soul that needs to go with us right in front of us. Sometimes we get so busy, we think we got it all together, we don't read the Bible so that we know how God can help us today. He's taking care of my eternal life, but he wants to take care of my everyday through his word. He wants to walk with me and be my God and take care of me every day and have me trust in him and walk with him every day. But yet we get our eyes, and just like those disciples, we foolishly, sometimes we think that we're not going to have troubles. Troubles will come, even for the believer, even those that have trusted him in Christ. Listen, the Bible says, Jesus said, if the world's hated me, it's going to hate you. Don't think the world's going to fall in love with you now that you're a Christian. Expect other believers to, because Jesus commanded us to love one another. Then sometimes we assume, and this is probably the biggest one before I hit the ground running, and I hope you, I'm probably going to preach about 10 minutes here, but the rest of this has just been an introduction, all right? But we assume that our faith will grow on its own like we did naturally. But see, the problem is if we don't feed ourselves spiritually, then we're not going to grow. If you didn't eat in the natural man, you wouldn't grow. But if you don't feed yourself spiritually, and listen, can I tell you? If you only ate as much as you come to church, you would not be as big as you are today. Amen. I would not be as big as I am today. Amen. I need to practice this, honey. You might need to make dinner for me only on Sundays and Wednesdays. Amen. See if I can make it this way. Fast in between. Amen. It's a good diet plan. Amen. But you know, this good word of God, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. D.L. Moody, and I don't have time to read you the quote today. I won't take time to do it. But D.L. Moody said that he prayed and prayed and prayed that God would build his faith. And one day he was reading his Bible in Romans chapter 10, and he realized that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Your faith is only going to grow and be as big as your knowledge of the Word of God. Amen. The promises that are in God's book, you can believe that all of it is in there, but your faith will grow the more than you're in there. Amen. Listen, this faith, this puzzling news that these guys got, do you know what helped them? When they started putting all the pieces of it together. When they started to get all the pieces of everything Jesus had told them from the beginning while they were together, all the pieces of when he fulfilled his plan and came back and started to connect the dots. Think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He said, did not our hearts burn within us? Listen, I want to tell you, listen, it's about time that God's people got back to the book and got holy heart burned for the things of God. Say, Brother Parsons, listen, don't you get heartburn when you eat things that are good, that aren't good for you? But sometimes they, I mean, hey, I'm just telling you, old spicy sausage or something, I mean a hot tamale, whatever it is that you eat that you think is good, and you get heartburn and you say, it was worth it. The Word of God is just that powerful. And sometimes when we read God's book, it will burn within ourselves. It will burn inside of us and we'll think, it was worth it. God revealed a truth to me today and helped me. These same disciples, listen, they got to this 14th chapter and Jesus began to help them. He said in verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see the starting of faith there? Belief, faith starts with God. The premise that there is an almighty, all-powerful being that made everything. There are people that lie and say that they're atheist. Jesus, our Savior. Listen, you know that they don't realize who they're believing in, but Jesus is the Creator God. Just read the book of Colossians. You can't help it. Listen, you want some faith, get a hold of that, that Jesus is the one that spoke it all into existence, and by Him all things consist. But take that and that knowledge and that basis that God is real and that He's there. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. Listen, the true need of the day, the age, is that people transfer what they already know is true about God, that God created everything, that everything has order, that everything is what God wants it to be. Listen, everything is just the way God created it, and they then apply that knowledge to the Lord Jesus Christ and realize that He is God in the flesh, that He came and died for the sins of the world and paid for our sins on Calvary. He went to all the way for you and I. And listen, His goal was to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm here to tell you today, Jesus did just that. He paid my sin and for your sin and for the sins of the entire world. And if we will simply believe on Him, we can be saved. He goes on, we read through all this passage, and He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. See, they knew the Father, but they didn't understand, I don't think, until this moment of their lives, with this puzzling news, that Jesus and His purpose was to be the way to heaven, to the Father. They didn't realize, they knew about truth, but they didn't realize truth was with them. See, truth can be puzzling, can't it? Sometimes somebody will tell you the truth and you don't understand it, but if you grow a little, my dad, I heard this preacher say, and if he had told me this in Bible college, Brother Hobson, I probably would never believe this. Brother Tom Wallace said this week while we were at the meeting. He said, talking about the ministry, he said, the ministry is two parts. He said, people ask me all the time how to build a great church, how to do this, how to do that, and how to have what I've built in three different big churches. And he said, number one, complete the Great Commission. Number two, solve all the problems that come from completing the Great Commission. It's just as simple as that, folks. It's just as simple as that. Listen, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, the best thing that you could do was take that knowledge. You're here in a church, a local church today, and you obviously believe that there is a God. But if you've never trusted in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and accepted Him as your personal Savior, the next step for you to grow in faith is to accept Christ as your personal Savior. I grew up in a place just like this, went 15 years of my life, and I knew all kinds of stuff about God in my head, but I had never accepted His Son with my heart. I would have missed heaven by 18 inches had it not been for God's convicting power and a man that preached one more time that I needed to be saved. And I bowed my head in my heart, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save me. Listen, friend, if He'd do that for an old sinner like me, He'd do that for you if you're not saved. If He did that for me, then He'd do it for anybody in this room that needs Christ today. If they'll come, if you'll humble yourself and step out and accept Him. This passage goes on, believer, to give us some precious promises. That Jesus that told him He was going away, He didn't end it with that. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, you believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. One of the greatest resting places in my life is that I don't need to build a mansion down here. I don't need to have everything the world has to offer. I have that and more waiting for me on the other side with the Lord Jesus Christ. my purpose, this is not going to be near as long as I'm going to spend time with him. So I don't spend my time worrying about what the Powerball jackpot is so that I can have what everybody wants down here. Because one that I've accepted a long time ago is gone to prepare a place for me. And there is nothing that I can do here to prepare for that is what like he is preparing for me. He goes on and says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Can you imagine the puzzling news that they received? Nothing could comfort their hearts like I'm coming back again. The Bible has referred to, and we as a church refer to, the church being the bride of Christ. And this passage pictures everything that a bridegroom would do for his bride. He would go away and prepare a place for her. And he'd get everything that she would need and everything they would need to be together, prepared and ready. And then when the time was right and the bride was ready and all things had come to fruition, he'd come back and show up for his bride and take her to be with him, and they would never part again. Can I tell you, listen, that's a beautiful picture for us, church. That Savior that left us so many years ago, who still works and loves and from a long distance has left us his mind and speaks to us daily if we read his word. That same Jesus is coming in like manner to receive us unto himself that we can, listen, what's going to be prepared for the bride of Christ is the Bible. Listen, he has had writers. He told them they couldn't pen it down. What's prepared in heaven, we only have a scratching evidence and surface of what truly is in heavenly places for us today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if I died today, that I would spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ because of what has been promised me in Scripture, according to the Scripture. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, my heart's prayer today is you will no longer be puzzled, but you'll walk an aisle and let someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved and receive Christ as your Savior. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray. And as soon as the prayer's over, we're going to begin to sing. Would you come and meet me in the front? Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. I pray that you would put feet to these young people that and folks that are here that may have listened and need the gospel. I pray that God's people, maybe they're having a hard time and they need to just get some more peace. Maybe you helped them to this morning. I pray that they'd come and do business with you. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Just how